Good morning again. See, now, I say again because if you're here at 9:59, 10 o'clock, you will always hear me say good morning. If you came in a little bit late, it's okay. So good morning. Any Lions fans in the house? Any Giants fans in the house? Oh, pretty quiet. All right. Well, we'll see what happens. I'll have you out here in plenty of time. but I could talk for a long time. I could go through next week's part already. No. Man, I'm excited to be sharing the word again with you. We started a series last week titled simply A Prayer, right? Lord, I want to know you more. That's it. Remember, I challenged everybody last week to be praying that every day. Lord, I want to know you more. I'm not going to ask how many of you did, because if you didn't, it probably hurt my feelings. But no, I'm kidding. Oh, guys, you got to come alive. Come on, help me out. Little smile. I'm not going to try to put you to sleep here. But listen, Lord, I want to know you more. All right. Last week, we talked about part one, which was knowing the Father's voice. Okay, we need to know the Father's voice. A couple things on that just to remind us. We talked about ways that God can speak, okay, whether it's audibly or through somebody else confirming something that you're feeling in your heart. It might just be the drop of an overwhelming thought inside of you that you can't shake and you just know it's God. So we talked about that, but we also need to be familiar with the Father's voice, right? Like the sheep are familiar with the shepherd's voice, and they don't know the stranger's voice, so they're not going to follow the stranger, they'll follow the shepherd. You all remembering this? Okay, it all ties together, so that's why I'm going through this again. And you're like, man, if he went this quick, why didn't he do that last week? All right. The Father's voice, knowing the Father's voice is simply to know the Father, have that relationship with God, right? If you're in a building, in a room, and you hear a relative's voice that you know, without even looking at them, you know their voice. Why? Because you've spent time with them, right? You know their voice. Okay, the Father's voice is truth. Everything he speaks is true. There's no doubting it. There's no questioning whether or not it's God or if it's truth or a good direction for you, because he speaks truth. And lastly, we need to speak with the Father's voice. When people hear you, when the world hears you, are they hearing you speak as if the Holy Spirit is speaking or as if God is speaking through you? And I think that's probably the biggest challenge for all of us, is just being in that mindset, is what kind of words are coming out of my mouth, right? What do people hear when I'm speaking? So with that said, we're moving into part two. You ready? All right, I'm ready. We need to know his word to know his will. Okay, we need to know his word to know his will. First, in this part two, okay, I want to talk about that the Bible is absolute truth. We don't hear those terms a whole lot anymore, right? We live in a society, in a culture that is relative. Well, how I feel is right for me, and how you feel is right for you. That's the culture we live in, right? It is. How I view my life, with the things that I think are right in my life, are right for me. Maybe they're not for you, but they're right for me. It's such a deceptive mindset. And again, this goes back to what I talked about last week, the stranger's voice, right? Satan speaks in a way that entices us and makes things sound good. It makes things feel good to our human nature, but it's not the direction that God wants us to go. He wants to draw us away from the will of God, right? The Bible is absolute truth. It doesn't change. You think about this, that successful cultures, successful societies, have good moral standards. Where do those moral standards come from? The Bible. Okay? They know that there's a true difference, stark difference between right and wrong, right? As soon as you start pulling the Bible and God out of schools, you pull the Bible and God out of government, you pull the Bible and God out of every society you're in, what do you see? Chaos, right? I mean, everybody's just doing anything they want and society starts to crumble. If we stay fixed on the absolute truth, man, I'll tell you what, it's foundational, not only for success, okay, but it's foundational for knowing God's voice. So last week when we talked about being familiar with the Father's voice, how do we know that? What's our basis that we go back to? What is it that we go to and say, okay, based on this factor right here, I know this is God speaking to me. What do you think? The word. Exactly. Yeah. I can't even tell you. I'm so excited about this. We're going to get into some really good stuff in the next few minutes. But the Word of God, the Bible, okay, is our basis for understanding God's heart, okay? His character, his desire, his will, right? Everything that we need to know about God is right here in order to understand if he's speaking to us, okay? So think of it like this. Let's talk about character traits just for a second. There's probably not a parent in this room that has never heard or said these phrases, he is so your son, or she is so your daughter, right? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Kids, if you didn't know we said that about you, we do. All right. We can see ourselves in you. We can see certain character traits, certain personality, you know, things that have developed in our kids' personalities from us. They're watching us. They're learning. They're absorbing, right? They're picking up on all these things, hopefully all good, right? Hopefully not any of the bad things. I mean, because we know we're not perfect, but hopefully they're picking up on the good things, okay? The Bible, again, is God's, it's a picture of God's character traits. It's a picture of God's heart. And the more we spend time in his word, the more we recognize his heart, his desire, and his will. Okay, you with me? Not only that, okay, but it helps us to become more like him because we're spending time learning about him. We're spending time learning to think how he wants us to think, okay? And we allow him opportunity to speak into our lives and to use us for his glory. Okay, you good? All right. Number two. The Bible is a compass for our life. This is good. Psalm 119, verse 105. We're going to spend a lot of time in Psalm 119 today, okay? So you're going to hear that a lot. Psalm 119, 105, David writes this. He says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Okay, have you heard that before? Okay. Think about this. Walking in a dark house, okay, lights are out. Pitch black, or a building, pitch black. I have to tell you, walking in this building in pitch black, I don't recommend it because it's kind of scary. But there are times that you can't find your way around, even if you're familiar with the place, because you can't see, right? David realized how important the Word of God is for directing his steps. And that's why he said, "I have made this as a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet, so that I can see the direction that you want me to go." Okay? I know a lot of us know this already, but why? I was thinking about this week. I'm like, you know, this seems like kind of foundational. But do you notice how often Pastor Wes and me or whoever preaches about prayer and reading your Bible? Because it's so important, right? It's so important. All right. John 15, verses 5 through 8. I want to read this before we put it on the screen. Hold on. Sorry, Josh. I wasn't planning to have this scripture portion in this sermon today. I had everything written out, ready to go. And midweek, I had this vivid dream of, and I'm going to share bits and pieces of it here in a second, of this scripture. And all I could hear was Jesus' voice saying, "I am the true vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, if my words remain in me." Let's read this, okay? This is so cool. So, of course, I woke up that morning. I get right into John 15 and start reading this. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples." I want to go back to a couple, just two of these verses really quick. First, verse 5, okay? okay? I've heard a lot of teachings on this over my lifetime, but it's interesting how he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches, bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. All right. How many of you know successful people that are not Christians? Okay, there are, right? What Jesus is referring to here is not just your daily tasks. He's referring to something of significance. You can't do anything of eternal value and of significance without Christ in your life, without being attached to him, right? I love what Weston shared earlier today about I think it was Weston or Serena, I'm not sure, but about Christ being the nourishment, okay, of our lives. And we're going to get into that in just a second. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. I've heard a lot of thoughts on this. Times that I've, you know, as a youth pastor and hearing students ask, I mean, basically, does that make God like a genie? No. Okay. You're not going to ask whatever you want. The point is, Jesus is saying, as my words abide in you, if you remain in me and I remain in you, guess what starts to happen? We start to think like God, right? We start to think like Jesus. We start to ask and speak with the Father's voice. We begin to do things and act in a way that is according to God's will, not according to our own. Does that make sense? All right. So the things we want then become things that, not the new Porsche, right? It becomes things that God wants to see happen, and he wants to use us to do it. And I think that is so cool. So cool. So this dream, all right? So I'm standing in this room with my family. Got my kids there, Kate's there, and other people are here. And there are two choices set before us. There's this huge, beautiful vine on a wall, okay? And then there's this tangible item. I don't know. It doesn't even make sense to tell you what it was. But a tangible item that the world was offering. Okay? And we're given two choices, to either attach ourselves to the vine or to grab a hold of the thing that's tangible thing that the world was offering. All right? And we didn't know what was going to happen if we attached ourselves to the vine. You with me so far? Is this too deep? No, we're good? Good. All right. We didn't know what was going to happen if we attached ourselves to the vine, but we knew this tangible thing looked good. It was enticing, right? I found myself in a position where there was so much concern about that step of faith to say, okay, if I attach myself to the vine, that's it. That's it. I'm leaving everything that looks good, that the world says is good, and I'm attaching myself to Christ, and I'm allowing him to influence my life, to nourish my life. And the only thing I could do at that point was to give my family and other people in the room peace of mind. I chose to go first, and I chose the vine. And I went with a smile on my face so that they could see that God was going to do incredible things in my life by attaching myself to Christ. On my way there, I realized that everybody behind me, my kids, Kate, they all had to make the choice for themselves, right? Students, if you're in this place, listen, and your parents are here with you, you can't get to heaven on the coattails of your parents. Okay, you have to make the decision for yourself to attach yourself to Christ. Choose to be grafted into the vine. The vine itself, okay, Jesus was saying this, the vine doesn't necessarily bear fruit, but it provides the nutrients to each branch to produce incredible fruit, eternal fruit, right? Impacting the world around you, the people around you. Sometimes I hear people say, Christianity is so restricting. You would think at this age by now, I mean, that we've gotten out of like the teenage high school stuff, but man, even at this age, I still have people say, what? You don't drink? What? You don't go out and party? What? You don't? And I'm like, no, I don't. And they see that as restricting. It's like this alternate reality of freedom that they think is free and fun in the world, right? And there's a true freedom in Christ. But I guess the question is, though, how do we get from... I don't want to jump ahead because I'm going to get here. But the alternate reality of freedom, each person has to make the choice. I don't want to be the person that stands before God. Can you imagine this? Again, having that one-on-one conversation with God, and he says, why My mic keep doing this. All right. Why didn't you go this direction? Why did you go off the opposite way of what I told you to? I would not want to be standing before God and say, well, I didn't know. I didn't ask. I didn't know. It was just fun. It was just what felt right. I don't want to have that conversation, right? You with me? I'd rather be asking God and hearing God speak and his voice lining up with the word of God, and I know the direction that he has for me, okay? When God speaks, we recognize him because we spend time understanding his heart and his desires that are revealed in the word of God, in the Bible. So last week, we talked about this prayer, Lord, I want to know you more. Speak. I want to hear your voice, okay? Now we're taking the next step. Now we're saying, God, Lord, I want to know you more. Speak to me. I want to hear your voice, but show me your will. Direct me. Tell me what you want me to do. Guide me. Lead me. Teach me. Help me to follow your direction. See, when God speaks, he's not going to be speaking, drawing us to a place of compromising, okay? He's not going to draw us to a place of danger, all right? He's going to lead us away from that. We talked about that last week. When he speaks according to his word. And as we spend time in the Bible, we need to do what David said, and it's, again, in Psalm 119. What did David said he did with the word of God? I've hidden your words in my heart that I might not sin against you. Okay? What I would encourage you to do this week, we're going to have a kind of a new prayer to pray. We're adding this, you know, God, show me your direction. But I want to encourage you this week to get into the word and read Psalm 119, okay? It's 150 verses long. So if you want to split it up a few days, that's fine. But read Psalm 119, and here's going to be what you see David saying, okay? I dwell on, I keep, I hide, I meditate on your word. I'm focused on it. I've made your word a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You're going to see that David had a revelation of how important the word of God is in our lives, in his life. We can't live a successful, godly life without it. Amen? Amen. And he focused on that. He focused on the word also that he could be found blameless and righteous before God. Now, I am not, any of you read the Message translation? Okay, a few of you. I am not a Message fan. Sorry, I'm not. But I saw this, and I couldn't shake it. Are you ready? This is good. Let's put up Psalms 119, 9 through 11 here in the Message. How can a young person, now, if you're young, this is for you. If you're not, you don't consider yourself to be young, it's still for you. Okay, so don't get caught up in the word young. How can a young person live a clean life? By carefully reading the map of your word. I'm single-minded in pursuit of you. Don't let me miss the road signs you've posted. I've banked your promises in the vault of my heart, so I won't sin myself bankrupt. Isn't that good? I've hidden your words in my heart so that I won't sin myself bankrupt. That is so, so good. Hebrews 2, verse 1 in the New Living Translation says this, so we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard. I'm going to read that again. So we must listen, what? Very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. Let me ask you this about drifting. Is that an unconscious or a conscious act? It's generally unconscious, right? You're not intending. It just kind of happens, right? Oh, man. How many of you ever, you remember your first winter driving? All right. You're going to be the most careful driver on the road. I was going to a prayer meeting. It couldn't have been a more holy cause. And I was driving down the highway, and going 40 miles an hour, 40, 45, and I moved over to let somebody on. I was doing the nice thing, just a good Christian kid going to a prayer meeting, right? I get a little further up the road and change lanes over top of a bridge, and it was covered with black ice. My car, the back drifted one way, drifted the other way, and I flung around and went backwards down the highway until I flipped into the ditch and had to climb out my driver's door. All right. First and last time I'll ever be in the back of a police car was in that incident. He was just trying to keep me warm. But quite a sight to behold, especially for my dad, as he is also going to the same prayer meeting a few minutes later. And he recognized my car, he and my stepmom, and they pulled over to the side of the highway in the dark, snowy conditions. They're walking across, see me in the police car, and the police officer says, "Who are those idiots?" I'm like, "That's my dad. It's my dad." Man, I'll tell you what. If I wouldn't have changed lanes at the wrong time, if I would have just stayed the course, I would have made it to my destination without any issues, right? All right? To stay the course, to stay the direction, and in the direction and in the will of God, we have to know his word. Okay, you with me? I'll read that one more time, and it's on the screen, I think. It will be. To stay the course, to stay in the direction and in the will of God, we have to know his word. The word of God keeps our lives stable and on track with where God wants us to be. That's how important it is. Let's check out a quick video, right? I just love that. I mean, four times a week in the scripture, and it dramatically changes the way people think, the way they act, the way they live their lives, just by intentionally being in the word 4 days a week. Number three, the Bible helps us to think and live differently. You know, I talked about the different ideas of freedom, right? How the world views freedom and how we view freedom as Christians, right? One way or another, the Bible says you're going to be a slave to something, be a slave to sin or a slave to Christ, right? It's what's your destination going to be if you're a slave to sin versus being a slave to Christ. You with me? Amen. Listen, how do we get from this idea that this freedom over here is not the type of freedom we want? We need the freedom in Christ. What do we need to do to switch our thinking, to switch our mind? How do we renew those thoughts? How do we renew the way we think? How does God teach you to think differently? How do we determine true freedom? It's the Bible, right? It's the Word of God. Understanding what true freedom is, understanding what the heart of God is. God's Word, I shared this last week, doesn't return to Him void. Think about this. When you read the Scriptures, this is why that video made so much sense. When you read the Scriptures, you're not just reading a book, okay? You are reading the words of God, okay? You're speaking the words of God into your situation and into your life. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 in the New Living Translation says, "For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." Some versions say it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Listen, when we're in the Word of God, we're going to be confronted with some things. The Holy Spirit's going to use this and say, "Do you see what I'm instructing you here? But why are you choosing to live this way?" Okay? The Holy Spirit is going to begin to speak and begin to put us in a right way of thinking, a right mindset. Okay? And it's going to judge those thoughts and attitudes of our heart, of our life, and try, God will work with us to get us back to where we need to be on the right course. Amen? Romans 12, verse 2. "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you," what? Read it. "Think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." How good is that? Amen? Just about done. Number four. His word identifies who we are in Christ. You know, the cool thing about God's word is it's not just a picture of his heart and his character, okay? It is a tool that he uses to help us identify who we are created to be, all right? We are, again, living in a world that says, "I choose to live this way because this is right for me," or I identify as this, and this is right for me. Listen, that is not the way to go. That is, again, Satan's deceptive word trying to make you think that your lifestyle is good, when in reality, God says, "I have something so much better for you. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person." All right? We just read that. Satan will do his best to keep you from knowing your potential, to keep you from knowing your identity in Christ. But God's intention is this, that no matter what your struggle is, no matter what your challenge is, no matter the difficulty you encounter, okay, no matter your sin or addiction, whatever it is, know this, that God has got you, all right? He's got you. He's bigger than the situation you're going through. And he has identified you as something so cool. You are a child of God. Amen? He's got you. He cares about you. Last week, again, our prayer was to, "Lord, help me to know you more. Help me to hear your voice. Speak to me," right? What I want to challenge you with this week is, "Lord, I want to know you more. Speak to me. Reveal the truth of your word to me. Show me your will for my life today. Lead me, guide me, direct my steps." You need to know that when God speaks, he's speaking truth. He has everything that you need in that moment. Listen, there's so many issues, so many unique issues to you and me, all right? So we're going to cover just a couple of them. Listen, if you need peace for anxiety, this is what the Word of God says. He is the peace speaker in Psalm 85, verse 8. He provides the peace that passes all understanding in Philippians chapter 4. If you're having an identity crisis of some sort, listen, you are a child of God born with an incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which lives and abides forever in 1 Peter. You are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, Ephesians chapter 2. You are created in the image of God, Genesis Colossians chapter 1. You are continuing to be transformed to reflect Christ in Philippians chapter 1. If you need strength to overcome difficulties in your life, you can do all things, come on, through Christ who strengthens you. And that's in Philippians 4:13. You are strong in the Lord, Ephesians chapter 6. You are sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1. All your needs are met by God according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus, Philippians chapter 4. You are strong in the Lord, Ephesians chapter 6. Listen, you need victory to overcome sin, to overcome addiction. The Bible already says in Revelation 21, you are victorious. You are more than a conqueror in Romans 8:37. You always triumph in Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. The word is so full of God's purpose, of God's potential for you, and we can't discount it. Amen? Are you with me? God has got good plans for you. He's got good plans for you. Worship team, if you'd come. The only way we will ever know his plans, the only way we will ever know what God is speaking to us is with this right here. I'm challenging you, 4 days. 4 days in the Word of God. And pray that prayer. Lord, I want to know you more. Speak to me. Show me your will. Show me your direction. Guide my steps. Would you bow your heads with me, please? And we're going to end with a song this morning. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now. And God, even now in church, if you'd stand, if you're able. God, even now, we pray this prayer, Lord, that we would know you more. Lord, that you'd reveal yourself to us in a way this week that changes our lives. God, that you would speak in a way that we recognize it's you. Lord, that as we get into your word, that you would reveal the truth of your word to us. Lord, that you would reveal your will to us, that you would reveal your promises to us. Lord, we love you. We can't be successful in this life without you. We love you, Jesus.